another aspect of leadership. And as you see from the source material, we're going to be looking at different models in Tanakh, primarily those that we've been engaged in or with for the past few weeks in the Parshiyos HaShavuah, and certainly one that's going to come on to a climax in this week's Parsha, Parshat Vayechi, as we look at the brachot that Yaakov is going to afford his respective sons. And obviously I'm speaking about two forms of leadership, based on that, the leadership of Yosef and Yehuda, that we see expressed beginning in Parshat Vayeshev, not only Yosef, who is the Baal HaChalomot, the dreamer, already inspiring all of us to ensure that if we're going to lead, first we have to dream. And then we see from Chazal that it's those who dream that ultimately can not only fulfill their dreams, but aspire for even greater dreams and a more wonderful future. That's Yosef. Yehuda is that the leader in regard to his brothers, as opposed to Reuven, to whom they don't listen when he urges them to keep Yosef in the pit, so that they are not actively killing him, but they listen ultimately to Yehuda, who recommends selling him down to Mitzrayim. But then we find that both Yosef and Yehuda, respectively, are going to be presented as parallel characters in Tanakh. We have Yosef, Vayered Mitzrayma, who is going to geographically descend to Egypt. And parallel to him, what we have, Vayered Yehuda Me'etachav. Yehuda, who is not only geographically going to go down south to the areas of Timnah, but ultimately we know that he's not going to offer Tamar, his daughter-in-law, to his third son, Shelah. And there really is a certain decline in the status of Yehuda. But then comes along Parshat Miketz, and we see Yosef by now has already been promoted to viceroy, a leader in Mitzrayim, a leader with regard to economic vision, a leader with regard to propelling the entire society forward. And so he meets his brothers once again, not only remembering those almost forgotten dreams, but also seeing before him the same brothers who once sold him down to Mitzrayim or were somewhat responsible for selling him down to Mitzrayim. And it's only in Parshat Vayigash that we find the first psukim that you see on your source material, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda, who hasn't really surfaced since the story of Mechirat Yosef, now when it comes to Binyamin, after he has lost two of his sons, he understands what it means to be an Av Shakul, to mourn as a father. He is the one that Yaakov ultimately listens to, and again, not Reuven, when Yehuda says, I will take personal responsibility, arivut, for Binyamin, instead of risking more children for his life. To him, Yaakov is going to respond and allow for Binyamin, and thereby the entire family of Yaakov, to then go down to Mitzrayim to ensure their survival. It's Yehuda, then, who is not only going to defend Binyamin, but be the one to say, I will be an eved in this place. But Chazal are very sensitive to this term of Vayigash. They already know that this is a certain role of leadership. Not only is Yehuda the one responsible, but Yehuda understands when to be belligerent, when to contest. That's Vayigash. And what is he asked, though? In the same pasuk, where we find this very harsh term of Migash, Vayomer di Adumi, at the same time, we see a born leader here. Someone who knows how to contest, how to defend, how to be responsible, but at the same time, in very diplomatic terms. Notice not only the various forms of submission, abdecha, but al-yicharabcha. He's already noting to Yosef, who stands before him, that he is going to contend with him, but at the same time, let's try to do this in a calm manner. And Chazal take a look at these two leaders then, both Yehuda and Yosef, who in the scene of Parshat Vayigash are going to display particular emotions towards Binyamin. He then is going to be the brother who unifies the two of them over this common love. But this is where Chazal knows these are the two future leaders, the ones who not only take responsibility, but we're going to see take responsibility in different ways. As I'm sure many of you have heard Shirim in the past, not only is Yosef the dreamer, and Yehuda perhaps the more practical one, whom we know by the end of Parshat Vayigash, Yaakov is going to send him off to set up, as Rashi says, Vatei Midrash and Mitzrayim. He is going to be the practical one. Yosef, from whom we're going to find the various descendants and throughout the history of Am Yisrael, of Ephraim and Menashe. Yet leadership manifests also through Yehoshua ben Nun. But then you have Yehudah, who is going to be, as we know, the forefather of David HaMelech. And therefore, Chazal, in Bereishit Rabbah, tell us, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hinei HaMelechim Noadu Abu Yachzav. Look at the kings who were destined together. Chazal explained, Hinei HaMelechim, which kings in plural form? Ze Yehudah v'Yosef. You can already notice from Sefer Bereishit that these are leaders that we're all meant to look towards in order to understand what not only future political power is going to teach us, but also the religious status of a king. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Chazal learned, from here we see the leadership already of Yehuda, Echad Be'echad Yigashu. And beautifully interpreted based on Sefer Iyov, Echad Be'echad Yigashu generally meant one that comes to literally meet with the other or contend with the other. So Chazal explained, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, Echad Be'echad Yigashu. Here we see one against the other, a face-off between Yehuda and Yosef. Ze Yehuda v'Yosef, v'ruach lo yavo b'nehem, elu hashvatim. And no other shevet can compare to these two leaders. And that's a good thing, because we already have two leaders amongst 12. We don't need any more. Then we would have more or less the Knesset. Amru, melachim midyamim elu. Im elu ani anu ma'achpat lanu, the shvatim say, these melachim, let them be the dayanim, let them be the ones to contend, to deal, to argue one with the other, and elu and elu, they'll deal one with the other. Anu ma'achpat lanu, we'll stay by the sidelines, we'll remain on the periphery, and we'll let them lead us, which is also, by the way, to the praise of Am Yisrael, knowing when to step aside, and knowing when to follow, and not necessarily to lead. But as you see, we're going to be speaking, because this is really our trajectory and our wish for you as well, that you learn from Yehuda and Yosef and apply their messages of leadership. So we can really have a very long Tanakh shiur just to explain the various forms of leadership that are going to come, both from Yehuda and Yosef respectively. But let's begin with where we left them off in Mitzrayim. We know that Yosef is actually the leader, not only in the political realm, but economically, he's the one who's going to ensure the survival of all of Bnei Yaakov in Mitzrayim. So he remains the leader, and I can't even say until the time of Moshe, because even during the time of Moshe, who is going to be Moshe's right-hand man? None other than Yehoshua ben Nun from Shevet Ephraim, also a descendant of Yosef. Our sense is that leadership really begins with Yosef, and then, as it continues into Eretz Yisrael, we find Yehoshua is going to be the one to interpret the pasuk of building a mishkan b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. He realizes, wait, the only place for one to be able to recognize the manifestation of divine leadership is if one can also relate to human leadership. And therefore, it's Yehoshua who recognizes the mishkan has to be in Shiloh, in the Chalat Yosef, in the area of leadership. And yet, soon after the death of Yehoshua, of Ephraim, one can say, that's when we find the budding, the beginning of the blossoming of the leadership of Yehuda. We have high hopes for the next leader, Otniel ben Knaz, from Shevet Yehuda, only to be somewhat disappointed as the various forms of judges during the next 300 years really doesn't work out so well. By Yamim Hahem, Ein Melech Yisrael, Ish Hayashar Be'inav Ya'aseh. And then when Malchus is going to be tried out, first through Shaul HaMelech, we know that Shmuel recognizes that the Melucha is going to move south of Ephraim. He who lives through the destruction of the Mishkan, he sees the complete decline and deterioration of the leadership of Yosef. Where does he then go to? We find in Sefer Shmuel, Paragimel, Shmuel is going to, like a Chabad rabbi, go around all different campuses. He tries the area of Yericho, he tries the area of Beit El. He's going to go to Gibeon and Mitzpeh. And part of the reason he does this is because he knows the bracha that Moshe gave Binyamin, Chofef alav kol hayom uveit tefav shachem. He knows that the Shekhinah is moving from Nachalat Yosef to the area of Binyamin. So notice that he goes to the eastern side, the western side, the northern side of Binyamin. Which area does Shmuel never make it to? He never goes to the south until Hashem tells him, I had enough with the malchus of Binyamin. I had enough of Shaul. Time to now anoint David for Judah, from Judah. This is now the time for Judah to take center stage, literally as leader. This is when Shmuel will finally go from Har Ephraim all the way down through Yerushalayim to get to Beit Lechem Yehudah. And here, as we know, is going to be the beginning then of the leadership of Yehudah. As already we find in this week's parsha, what is the blessing that Yaakov is going to place upon Yosef, place upon Yehudah? Ad ki avo shilo v'lo yikatamim. Yehudah, you will be the leader. You display by Yashelav Yehudah various characteristics of leadership, and yet they are not going to come to the forefront until you go through Shiloh. Once you go through Shiloh, then we're ready for Beit Lechem Yehudah. Then we're ready for the Malchus of David. And we know that this is going to be the ideal Malchus. It's going to establish a precedent not only for the future Malachim from Shevet Yehudah, but it's also going to set the standard for all of the future Malachim, even during the time of Piluk HaMelucha. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised when Shlomo is going to be told by Achiah HaShilomi, Achiah from none other than the city of Shiloh, representing the religious and the political leadership of Yosef. Achiah tells him in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Yeravam ben Evant Ephrati min Hatsreda is going to take over, and he is going to be the king over 10 of the tribes of Israel. But one Shevet, not to worry, will still remain with David, and not only will one Shevet, but also one city, the city of Yerushalayim, and thereby the southern area of Binyamin will also become a part and parcel of Shevet Yehudah in that regard. So notice that even when the Melucha is going to hear, to see, so to speak, we're going to find a division of the kingship. We're not surprised to find that obviously one king is going to continue with the promise that Hashem gave David HaMelech. One king is going to be from Yehudah, and the other king is going to be from Yosef. This is a continuation thereby of the leadership of both. And now we're going to see that there was a milchama, the same hagasha of Parshat Vayigash, the same contention, the same clash of personalities that we find in Parshat Vayigash continues through the history of Am Yisrael over the next 350 years, as we find that two simultaneous forms of leadership, one in the north under the leadership of Yosef and the other in Nachalat Yehudah under the leadership of Bnei David. And as we see in Sefer Malachim, Milchama Haitam Ben Rechavam, Ben Shlomo, O Ben Yerabam, Frama Shevet Yosef, Kol Yemei Chayav. Throughout all the days, there are little lapses in time during the time of Yerabam Ben Yerabam and Nebat, wherein Rechavam is going to surrender to him for a little while, and a brief period under Yehoshaphat, who deals with Achav, but other than that, there is going to be literally two separate forms of leadership, and we're supposed to be focused on each one, recognizing that they each possess qualities of such leadership. So much so that the Agadah tells us, Ephraim lo yikaneh et Yehudah, aval ba'olam hazeh mepnei she'en mechabrim zeh en zeh mekanim zeh bazeh. That during the time of the Malchut, that of course there was jealousy, of course there was contention, of course there was a rift between the leadership of Yehudah and Yosef. Unfortunately, when these two forms of leadership don't meld together, then they're not going to be able to rise together. So keep in mind that part of what it means to model ourselves after these forms of leadership is to look at the qualities of each and recognize that even though they can clash one with the other, the goal is to be able to unify them. The goal is as leaders to be able to take the different communities, different ideas, different weltanschauungs, different hashkafot, and be able to find the common ground between them, because each possesses their own, not only personality, but positive character traits of leadership. And this is what I'd like to focus on as we look for a moment at the Haftarah of last week's Parsha, a beautiful Haftarah that serves as the second part of the famous chapter of Chazon HaTzamot, that shows the anthropological vision of Yechezkel, Anna of the dry bones. And then he continues as follows. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai le'mor. Va'asa ben Adam. Kach lecha etz achad. Ochtov alav liyuda ulebnei Yisrael. You're going to take one piece of wood, and according to some parshanim, one tree, and you're going to write upon it the name Yehuda. Anna chaverav. Ulekach etz achad. Ochtov alav liyosef etz Ephraim. V'chol beit Yisrael chaverav. Dekarav otam achad el achad. You're going to take these two pieces of wood, one upon which is etched the name of Yehuda, the leader, and the other upon which we find etched the name of Yosef, the leader of majority of the tribes who have been exiled close to 120 years earlier. And he says, take them together. Recognize that when he is going to merge them, they remain as achadim. At first, they're called achad el achad. Each person, each leader that has to be recognized for who he is. What are you doing with this very strange symbolic act? The first stage is they are achadim. Each one is an individual for us to appreciate, and we're going to elaborate upon their particular personalities. But stage number two, vayu lachadim biyadi, to literally, and in a physical but ultimately conceptual manner, to be able to unify them, to merge them together. Please keep in mind that this isn't an alloy that can be merged through a chemical process of and reaching certain temperatures. Rather, this is what we would call in agricultural terms, dealing with wood and trees, this is grafting. And sure enough, the Parshanim ask, okay, if two trees, or two branches for that matter, are grafted together, then take a look at the Psukim for a moment and try to figure out, when you graft, you use the original tree, and then you graft another branch upon that tree. So when one is looking at the syntax of the Pasuk and of this entire scene before us, who's being grafted upon whom? In other words, who is the trunk of the tree? Who is the base? Which leadership are we supposed to look at as literally the founding leadership? And which is the leadership that is grafted upon the other in order to enhance the fruit that is going to grow? So looking at the Pesukim, you tell me, is Yosef the trunk and Yehuda the graft? Or is Yehuda the trunk and Yosef is grafted upon him? This is why you all have to come to Eshkolot, to learn how to learn Tanakh. Now, but really, looking at the Psukim, who is placed upon whom? So we see from the Psukim.
Seemingly, possibly Yosef. Yehuda is
Yosef
is grafted on.
Yosef is grafted. What is the basis for saying Yosef is grafted?
He's the one that represents, I guess, the eternity. He's going to last the longest, so he.
Yehuda, meaning, isn't that interesting? We would all think, right? We would agree that Yehuda should be the trunk because he's the Malchut of Beit Yehuda. The Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda. He is the leader that ultimately teaches us the messages of Tshuva. He is going to be the everlasting one. So we can argue that Yosef is grafted upon him, especially Yosef went into exile. Yehuda returns during the time period of Vayicheni, and that's what Yechezkel has to envision before him. So it must be that Yosef is basically added or grafted onto Yehuda. And yet, the Pshat seems to tell us exactly the opposite. To our surprise, Anna, notice the term that's used here. Anna, Hashem tells him, take one upon the other. Which one? And benatati otam alav et eitz Yehuda. Anna, you are going to take eitz Yehuda and place that upon them. In other words, first take the eitz of Yosef asher b'yad Ephraim. They are the trunk. That is the basis. Yosef is the founding form of leadership. Venatati otam, had it just said, venatati alav, and but venatati otam alav, it's eitz Yehuda. And then grammatically, Yehuda is going to be placed upon the trunk of Yosef, telling us that, just as we find historically, in these parshiot, again, Avayachi, even Tishnot, We find that it's Yosef's leadership that is the founding leadership. It's the dreams of Yosef, the practical survival, basically, of Bnei Yaakov, that serves as the first form of leadership. And perhaps that's what Yaakov was alluding to, even as he blesses Yehuda with the bracha of Malchut, Lo Yasur Shevet Yehuda, Mokol Kikmi Ben Raglav. Yehuda, you're ultimately going to be the king, but not yet. Ad ki yavoshi lo velo yikatamim. First, wait for Yosef. First, the Malchut, the leadership, must go through Shiloh, and then everyone will assemble under you. And we're going to speak a little bit more about this, not necessarily all the personality differences between Yehuda and Yosef, but more what does it mean that one literally leads into the other, and that both steps are required. So Hashem says, Yehuda is going to join upon Yosef, v'asitem le'etz achad, v'yu achad v'yadim. Once one grasps a branch onto a tree, then over time, what literally happens? The branch becomes part of that tree as what is going to be yielded? A new fruit. And the whole point is that the grafted branch, that's supposed to not only strengthen the tree, but add a positive, strong genetic material to the tree to provide for the best of the fruits. This is exactly what I'm going to do. הנה אני לוקח את בני ישראל מבין הגויים אשר הלכו שם וקיבצתי אותם מסביב והביתי אותם אל אדמתם. First, I'm going to unify, I'm going to bring about all those who are scattered in exile. ועשיתי אותם לגוי אחד בארץ, בערי ישראל ומלך אחד יהיה לכולם למלך, ולא יהיו עוד לשני גויים, ולא יחצו עוד לשתי ממלכות עוד. And this is so interesting, because based on this nebuah, it seems that Hashem is going to not only bring all those who were exiled from Yosef, namely what we call the 10 lost tribes. But then once the 10 lost tribes are here, Hashem is then going to grant upon them Yehuda, return Yehuda, and then what will happen together? They will become one great strong nation. And yet historically, we don't find that that happens. The 10 tribes do not return. There are Shomronim here, Samaritans here, but instead of unifying with Yehuda, they're the ones who are going to constantly tattletale to the Persian government on Yehuda. And therefore, most of the Parshanim, the Radak in particular, explains that Yechezkel is really speaking about the return of Yehuda. That's his audience. Yehuda is going to return, and they are going to learn from the Malchut of Yosef that is no longer. They are the branch that is grafted upon the trunk of the tree, and they are supposed to not only garner strength from the trunk of Yosef, they're supposed to learn from the history, and yet, ultimately, who is the melech who is going to lead them? Obviously, Yehuda. And they won't be two different nations, because it's going to be Yehuda, who basically has incorporated, maybe not literally, maybe not physically, the malchut of Yosef, but certainly the leadership qualities. And only through that, lo yitamu od b'gluleihem u'b'shekulteihem u'b'chol p'sheihem, as a unified malchut Yehuda and Yisrael, as unified through their character traits, this is how they are going to not only be a strong nation, and in the military or international sense, but obviously in the spiritual sense as well. And the Malbim, on this parrot of Sefer Yechezkel, learns that this is the basis for Chazal to tell us that for the long term, we need both. We need the redemptive factors of Yosef, and respectively those of Yehuda. מקבלת חז"ל שתחילה יעמוד משיח בן יוסף, והוא מלך מעשרת השבטים, והוא ילחם מלחמות ויתעשו כל ישראל תחת דגלו. From here we find that we are going to need leadership of Yosef, עד שאחר כך יבוא בן דוד, והוא ימלוך עליהם. Until the leadership qualities of Yehuda will come to fruition, and then he will be the leader. וזה שאמר, הנה אני לוקח את בית יוסף, שבטי ישראל חבריו, ונתתי אותם עליו. עליו, meaning, first you're going to have יוסף, היינו שהתקבשו תחת דגל משיח בן יוסף, וגם את אית יהודה ייתן עליו, שיהודה יבוא גם כן תחת דגלו. ובזה ועשיתם מאית אחד. And I'd like to focus on the last few words here of the Malbim, ויהיו אחד בידי, and how will those qualities ultimately merge? על פי נס. The Malbim says, as excited as we are about this, about finding leadership qualities that one can merge together, He, living during his time, recognizing the divide in the Jewish people, says the only way that you're really going to be able to unify different governments, different parties, different factions, he says when it does happen, it's going to be a miracle. Right? No other explanation for how Am Yisrael could possibly be unified. And to a certain degree, we see this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Hannah speaking about Hashem inviting, proposing, Yerubbaal ben Nevat, who is, on one hand, going to be the parallel leader now to the descendants of Malchut Beit David, and Achiah Shilomi promised him a Malchut like David that would continue through a direct dynasty on the condition that he would listen to Hashem and maintain the same Torah values that David HaMelech did. And the Midrash explains, so what happened? Why couldn't he live up to that standard of David? The Chazal tells us because when Hashem proposed this and gave him an opportunity, he said, come on, Yerubbaal, let's walk together. And you, me, and David HaMelech in Gan Eden. Amar Rabbi Abba, achar shetapaso HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Yerubbaal b'Bigdo, after Achiah Shilomi gave Yerubbaal ben Nevat the various 10 pieces of garments representing the tribes, Amar lo chazor b'cha, v'ani v'ata u'ben Yishai nitayel b'Gan Eden. This is ideal, let us all walk together in Gan Eden. Amar lo, but Yerubbaal asked him, mi barosh, who's going to be the leader? And he's shy barosh. Hashem said, David. David's qualities are built upon yours. Ihafi lo bina. And to which Yerubbaal responded, if that's the case, David's going to walk first, even if it means that I can walk together with David and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, don't want it. And here that we find it's not simply the midah of gaava. It's an idea of not being able to walk together that ultimately dispels this promise that David, Yerubbaal, David, Yehudah, Yosef could all be walking hand in hand. And maybe that's why the continuation of the Nebuah of Yechezkel, Bavdi David Malach Aleihem, V'roe Achad Yeh L'chulam, that it's the quality of David and Yehudah, we'll see why in just a moment, that is ultimately supposed to lead, built off of the leadership qualities of Yosef. But the shiur is not merely, Yenna Tehuah show you, how these two leaders, whom we find already at the end of Sefer Bereshit, are going to serve as models of leadership throughout Jewish history and ultimately throughout the era of Mashiachut. But in order for us to appreciate within the religious Zionist communities in which we live, how significant both these forms of leadership indeed are and what they signify for us, not as individual leaders, but ultimately within our communities. So I'd like to turn to a hesped that Rav Kook has delivered for Herzl upon his death in 1904. And just to give you a little bit of a background to this hesped, to this eulogy. And you can imagine that the government asked the, and even if he wasn't officially the chief rabbi, he was viewed as the chief rabbi of at that point of Palestine, but the chief rabbi of Am Yisrael. They asked Rav Kook to deliver the hesped, and the religious party said, no! How can you deliver a hesped for a secularist like Theodor Herzl? Again, don't do it. And the secularist said, but we're asking you. And he's a part of the Jewish people. So Rav Kook delivered the hesped that we're going to learn together now, a brilliant eulogy, without even once mentioning the name of Herzl. And now we're going to take a look and see how he built off both the leadership qualities of Yehudah and Yosef, as the ultimate leaders of the religious Zionist community. And he says, we need both. We need a leader like Herzl. Tarich la'avid b'flal, lama anu tzrichim l'shnei mashichim. He says, because you could ask the same question with regard to Chazal. Why do we need two mashichim? Why do we need two messiahs? Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. V'arei ha'tachlin ha'mukumam hu shenasi achad yeh l'chulam. Especially because what does Yechezkel say? Ultimately, Mashiach ben Yosef, yeah, he's going to be God. Who is the new fruit going to come from? That's Yehudah. It's going to be Nasi Echad from Yehudah. So why do we even need Yosef there? David Azim Nasi Lahem La'olam. So he builds off of a famous Gemara, Masechet Sukkah, based on a pasuk in Zechariah. Speaking of a hesped, if you look at Zechariah, Perek Yudet, pasuk Yud Alim, on the day of Melchemet Gog u'Magog, there's going to be a tremendous massacre. And ultimately, kings are going to die, both from Yehudah and also from Yisrael. There's going to be so many eulogies, so many funerals taking place in Yerushalayim, Kimispeda Hadad Rimon Bibikat Megiddo. Literally, the pshat means, like the mispeda of the leader, Hadad Rimon, in the Bika of Megiddo, one of the international leaders of Aram, it's like saying there will be more people at this funeral than there were at JFK's, right? Than there were at Hadad Rimon's. And yet, the Midrash says, no, if the Mispeid is in Yerushalayim, then what Zechariah is really alluding to are other forms of leadership within Am Yisrael, leadership and Hespedim, those that died. And not only that, but they're going to be referring to not only the numbers, but the mispeid itself. There are going to be so many people who have to be eulogized prior to Mishichut, prior to Geula. So who are those leaders that in the past led us to a state of Geula? So notice, the Targum Yonatan says, V'yitna ha'i yisadei mispeidei b'Yerushalayim kemispeida da'achav. That when Zechariah says there's going to be a great mispeid in Yerushalayim, like the mispeid of Hadad Rimon, why is Achav called Hadad Rimon? Because he himself dealt with Melech Hadad of Aram, and that's what the Gemara Masechet Sukkah tells us. And secondly, kemispeid Hadad bibikat Megiddo, and a separate leader who was killed in Megiddo. Who was killed in Megiddo? Yoshiyahu. So notice that the Targum and Chazal then, in the wake of the Targum, explain as well that Zechariah is alluding to the fact that just like in the past, we needed the deaths of Achav and Yoshiyahu to lead us to Geula, so too in the future we're going to need the deaths, Chazal say, of Mashiach ben Yosef Sheneharag in order to then lead us to the Mashiach of Ben David. And strangely then, why would we say Achav? What was so great about Achav? Why did he have such a wonderful funeral? So Rav Kook explains, he says, Achav from Nachalat Yosef, Achav from the northern tribes, parallel to Yoshiyahu, the king of Yehuda, he made his hatkunasha hachibaha lo'umit nitkalta ba'achav. Says the reason why we compare Mashiach ben Yosef to Achav is not only because they share their tribal affiliation, but because Achav had a very special character trait, and that's the character trait of Yosef, and that is Chiba Lo'umit. There are two different forms of religious Zionist leadership. Firstly, there is the Zionist leadership, that idea of recognizing that anyone who's Jewish, regardless of denomination, regardless and the other types of affiliations, that's Achav. Achav, whom we know, by the way, nationalized Avodah Zarah, but at the same time, he's mourned. He's mourned because he put the political, the military, the economic interests of Am Yisrael first. And he was willing to give up his life on behalf of other members of Am Yisrael. That is the leadership of Achav, Shechiveid Ma'od et Yisrael, who, by the way, is Rav Kook alluding to then when he speaks then of the death of Achav?
Herzl.
Believe it or not, to Herzl. So, by the way, don't worry yet. Are the religious parties very happy that he's comparing Herzl to Achav, to the notorious? Yes, they were very happy. Anna, you're the religious camp. You're very happy. Were the secularists happy that he was comparing him to Achav? Yes, because Achav in secular culture is also wonderful. Do you know that there are people who name their children in Israel Omri, the father of Achav? Can you imagine doing that to your child? Again, he's the one who basically established Avodah Zarah that Achav follows. But in any case, because Omri expands the northern borders of Israel. So lo and behold, Anna, that's Herzl, Chiveid Ma'odet Israel. What can you do? He didn't necessarily value Torah. But at the same time, there was a nationalistic aspect of Achav. But we have to also mourn the death of Yoshiyahu from Beit David. And sure enough, obviously we need the leadership, the religious leadership of Yehuda. That's Yoshiyahu. He's the one who initiated the greatest religious reform in Jewish history. Ad ein zomeh b'chol hamlachim, ke'idut ha-katur v'chamohu lo haya l'tanam, melech asher shavu l'ashem b'chol levavo, u'b'chol nafsho, u'b'chol ma'odo. No one who returned to God in the same measure as Yoshiyahu. In Cain, ba'achav Yoshiyahu nitkatsu, sorry, Al-Cain, ba'achav Yoshiyahu nitkatsu shtei ha-nekudot. And that's why we have these two different aspects of what ultimately is going to lead to Geula. What Zachariah is trying to teach us, explains Rav Kook, based on the Targum, is that just as we needed Achav and Yoshiyahu to lead us, Gena to Geula, so too, we're going to need that in the future as well. We're going to need Gena Yosef and Yehuda, Koach Mashiach Beit Yosef, O Beit David, Le'id Ketikir, Ki Hayat Shar La'achid Shtei HaKochot Yachad. And Yechezkel recognize that you can even unify them together. Yechiel can estate Achav Yoshiyahu Gam Yachad. And that's why we're going to have to mourn the deaths of the secular Zionist leaders and certainly the religious leaders. V'nei b'tor ikva de Mashiach Beit Yosef, Mitkatam Chizayon HaTzionut de'doinu. Says Mashiach ben Yosef represents the Zionist leadership. Hanotzeh l'tzad haklali b'yoter. That's looking out for the greater good of Am Yisrael. The universal, Gashmi, versus the Ruhani aspects. But then we're going to need Yehuda to build those Batei Medrash in Mitzrayim. And therefore, if you look at the chart, you'll find that that's what Yosef is going to symbolize for us for generations. Yosef symbolizes the Zionist, the nationalistic, one can even argue, the universal form of leadership. He's the one who can serve as a leader, ally himself with the Egyptian forces. He's the one taking care of our economic survival. But Yaakov Avinu recognizes that that's not enough. That you need the leadership of Yehuda as well. You need someone to set up Batei Midrash. You need someone who's going to focus on the particularistic aspects of Israel, namely Torah values and a Torah identity. And now this is what Rav Kook is saying. You can imagine, by the way, the secularists were thrilled with this essay because he was saying that Herzl helped pave the way for this universal form of leadership, for Zionism. But at the same time, he's saying that's not enough. The religious parties understood that he's alluding to the fact that the Torah, the religious leaders, have to be the ones involved now in not promoting and propelling religious Zionism further in order to fulfill the Nebuah of Yechezkel. And therefore, Rav Hirsch explains, based, or I can say in a similar fashion to Rav Kook, that not only do we need a Mashiach Beit Yosef, whom Rav Kook, if you read, says ultimately has to be killed in order for the religious values not to be infused, but Rav Hirsch explains as well, Ephraim and Yehuda, Israelites and Jews, both require purification and refining. Both are promised God's help to achieve purity. Just as the two branches representing the split tribes become united only in the hands of the prophet, so will Ephraim and Yehuda only be rarefied and purified from their errors in the hands of Hashem. The everlasting loyal faithfulness of both of them towards God will forge an everlasting bond of peace between them. Nana, a peace has to be a people of mind, not a church, not a religious society, but a people, which in every phase of its individual life, social and political, private and public, bears the stamp of belonging to God. If you turn to the last page, this is going to be proven all the more so in our own time. Rav Meidan likes to say that we can already see the birth of religious Zionist leaders in this week's Parshat Vayechi. Not only does the Ramban point out, in Bereishit Perek Yud-Bet, when Avraham Avinu first comes to Eretz Yisrael, where does Hashem first appear to him? Where is the beginning, not only of leadership, but the beginning of Am Yisrael's destiny, of L'chai Tein Et Ha'aretz Hazot, Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim? The Ramban explains it starts, as we know, in Shechem, because that's where Yoshua is first going to come in, following the path of Avraham Avinu. First, we're going to have to start not only geographically in the north, first we're going to have to start with the values of Shechem and Shiloh, with the values of Yosef, with the ideas of universalism. But then, we're going to make our way all the way to Yehuda. And what is the bracha of Yehuda? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, mechokek mi ben raglav, ad ki avu shilo velo yikatamim, osri la yete mi ro, velasrekam mi ben atonel, ki vizbayayim lepusho, vedam anavim ksuto, chachli li einayim eayim, ho leben shinayim mi chalav. Yehuda is blessed, not only as the ultimate leader, as we find also in Sefer Yechezkel, but as one who's going to benefit particularly from two different forms of agriculture, two different blessings indigenous to his nachalah. We have the yayin that the Ramban explains. There's going to be such an abundance of wine, says the pasuk, that you'll be able to launder your clothing in the wine, and not only that, you'll be able chachlili inayim miayim. The Ramban explains chachlili means you'll make your eyes blue from all of the wine. In other words, women will use the wine not only as detergent, not only as a dye, not only to drink, but also as eyeliner. They're also going to use the wine for the blue of the wine. But at the same time, Oleven Shinayim Michalav, Yuzah is blessed, as we know, with Mibari Yuzah, with pasture grounds, with the milk of the flock. And Rabbi Gan likes to say, this is the beginning. This is the roots of religious Zionism. This is the Kachol B'Lavan, not only of the Talith of Tchelet, but the Kachol B'Lavan of Dedo Yisrael. Yosef is going to start us off. But we're going to need the particular values of Yehuda, the Kachol and the Laban of Yehuda. And sure enough, Kasuto and Royer both point out, and they say, so why is it that in Sefer Bereshit we hear more about Yosef than we do Yehuda? We hear more about Shechem than we do Yerushalayim. And the answer, he says, is because we have to start with the values of the North. We have to start with the values of Yosef. And then we go down to Hebron and we bring the values of Yehuda. But as we know, ultimately, the values of Yehuda are going to be merged with the values of Yosef. And no other place than Yerushalayim. This is where we really understand the merging, not only of the character traits of the universalistic and the particularistic aspects. Yerushalayim, on one hand, representing Shalom, the universal value of peace, but at the same time, Yirah, the Yirat Hashem of Abraham, the value of the Torah ideals, and a religious path that we have to pursue. Ultimately, looking at Yehuda and Yosef, we understand and appreciate the Nevoah Yechezkel even more. These are not only the models of religious Zionist leadership for the past, but certainly for the present and future, for us to be able to appreciate both the values of Zionism and to infuse them, each and every one of us, merge them together with the everlasting value of a Torah, so that not only will Yehuda serve as the Roeh Achad Yel Kulam, the Harati Lehem Brit Shalom Brit Olam Ya'otam, Unitati Verbeti Otam, the Natati Et Mektashi Betocham Le'olam. Thank you.